What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Evolve You podcast. I am your host, Dr. Brian McElderry, holistic life coach, business mentor, speaker, and author. And on this podcast, we deliver you exciting episodes, not only from myself, but other influential guests we decided to bring onto the podcast. And we've been bringing on some amazing guests as of late, and hopefully they've been delivering you value. If you are new to this podcast, if you're coming on from an external place, whether it be our guest platform, whoever it might be, however you found us, please go ahead and check out our previous episodes as well. If you do enjoy it, make sure you give us a rating and review on Apple iTunes. It only takes a second. Just hit the little star button, hit the quick comment, and just let us know which episodes you listen to. We truly appreciate it. And also, if you're a returning listener, we just appreciate your continued support. So email us, let us know how we're doing, any topics that you may want to hear, any guests that you may have to say, hey, they need to be on this podcast. Go ahead and shoot us a quick email. All of our information will be down in the show notes. So that being said, let's dive into today's episode. I'm so excited, as I always am. A lot of you are probably like, Brian, stop lying to us. Like, just stop lying to us. Everyone cannot be amazing that you bring on. And I tell people all the time that I would not have them on if I didn't think their story could transform your world in some type of way. And I truly am curious constantly about my guests that I bring on. And I'm always transparent that a lot of the times I really find out a lot about my guests and their story and their expertise here live on the podcast. So there's not a lot of pre-recording going on. There's not a lot of talk going on. I really like having it very, very open and transparent to where I'm learning just as you are. So that being said, we're bringing on life coach, success coach, amazing human being, as she calls all her tribe and her audience, sexy humans, Miss Ashton Williams. What's going on, Ashton?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. So what I'm going to do is quickly introduce Ashton in her short bio and just allow her to expound upon her story in her own unique way, however she feels suit. And just we'll dive into a lot of different topics and questions around how you guys can break those chains, break those barriers, those mental battles that you're having to actually get to the next level of success that you want. So that being said, let's go ahead and jump into Ashton's bio a little bit. So she is known as the Bad Ash Babe. Yes, the Bad Ash, A-S-H people, okay, babe, okay. I'll maybe, you know, let her expound upon that or where that came from about her kind of rebelness or just willingness to go a different direction. And I think it suits her so well. So she's a success coach, a thought leader for personal development. But things weren't always this way. At the age of 15, she left her hometown in the great state. Well, maybe not in my personal opinion because I'm from Alabama, but the great state of Louisiana, okay? And all she knew that she wanted to follow her dreams. But through a few years of kind of struggling and going through this mental battle of PTSD, she thought that she was supposed to lead in a different direction and went along this growth journey and had this deep understanding of herself. And through hardship and just being uncomfortable and understanding, she began to invest into her step into herself through mentors and coaching and just really deep diving into herself about understanding who she truly is and how she's supposed to serve in this world. So today, what she is doing is she is actually helping individuals find their own success by understanding truly who they are. And she believes that when you find out that who you truly are, you begin to open that door to your true success. Ashton, amazing, amazing, amazing bio that people are kind of like, okay, okay, I'm listening, yeah. Right? So let's dive into that a little bit. Taking us back to this happy journey of truly who you wanted to be and what you wanted to do, where did that start? Because I kind of know a little bit, and if you had let us know, what was the first thing or thought that you wanted to be when you know, quote unquote, grew up, right? Like, what was that thing that you had?
Yeah. So here's the funny thing. I actually always knew I was supposed to be a leader. Mm-hmm. I actually always wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And at the time, I really had no idea like what that word meant to me then. And oddly, I always felt this nudging. There is always, God always guided me to these areas where I was supposed to lead. And if you understand how I grew up, and I'm going to expand a little bit on my personality growing up and who I was I was always, I say I was the outcast, but I was like a little different. I just like dressed different, did things different. I was just like, I had friends, but I was just a little bit different. Like I, not just the fact that I, as soon as I was born, I was about 30 years old, but the fact in general that I just had this different style, like a kind of like eccentric type, I don't know, like out just had this whole different vibe to me. And I was just always unique. Like people, if you would have asked someone, and probably still ask someone to this day, you know, what's a few things you can think about Ashton? And the number one things like I always remember people saying is, Ashton's unique. Ashton's just Ashton. Like that's how people knew me. And so every time I felt God calling me to these different places of leading, whether it was leading in this or leading in that, it was always like, am I really supposed to be doing this? Like, you know, I wasn't the popular kid. I wasn't this person, but I always knew I was supposed to be a leader. And I'll admit that that kind of freaked me out. Mm-hmm. And so at the age of 15, for 6 months, 6 months straight, I spent about 6 months straight in prayer because God had called me and told me, you're going to go to a new place. You're going to leave your hometown. Mm. And at 15, that was so wild to me because I was like, okay, I don't even have a license yet. Like I can't even legally drive.
Yeah.
You want me to go to a whole different place? And so I left my hometown of Monroe, Louisiana, which is, no, it's not that exciting. I promise. Okay? It's not that exciting. Thankfully, it's been put on the map in the last few years for a few things. But
yeah.
Other than that, it's not that exciting, I promise. Actually, I remember growing up, I used to look outside and I was like, one day I'm going to see a city. One day I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to be serving people. I'm going to be doing something big. Mm. And I remember literally as a kid, I remember exactly looking out at the trees. That was all that was around and going, one day this is going to be a city and one day I'm going to be leading people somehow, some way. I had no idea where that came from, but I could just say that it came from a divine being of my purpose. Mm-hmm. Like that's literally the only place it could come from. Like, cause like I said, I was so young. I didn't really understand, but I always knew I was meant to be in this role. Yeah. Now, for the journey of getting there, I had no idea it would look this crazy, but I truly did always know.
Yeah. Wow. I appreciate you sharing that with us. So I think any listener or even myself is really curious about kind of this calling that we feel in our guts a lot of times, and a lot of people that may be listening, they're kind of doing the things that they're supposed to be doing along this blueprint of life, but they never revisit those childhood dreams or thoughts that come into mind. So how was it that you were able to kind of capture that and really begin to listen? Because there are some people on here that may be believers. There are other people that are like, that sounds far-fetched, which in reality, our inner thoughts are so important to listen to because they're going to show up in some piece of our life, in some season of our life in some way, right? But you just took action on that very early.
Yeah. So regardless of what you believe, everyone dreams as a kid.
Yeah.
And the thing as adults is a lot of us stop dreaming.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later and expand on this a little bit. But the thing is, we stop dreaming as adults and we began to operate our lives from this filter that the external world around us creates. And that is truly why a lot of people don't step into their purpose. They don't step into creating fulfillment of their life. They just step into a blueprint that the world gave them because they stopped dreaming a long time ago. You know, they hit right before college. I'm sure a lot of people hit it, or maybe in college, where they hit this notion like, I got to get stuff together. I've got to choose something and just run with it because it makes money. But what we find is later, you know, people in their 40s and 50s are like either going back to school or they're wondering why they didn't do something, you know. And I am very blessed to have had this continuous pursuit of dreaming. And I believe that it was from a conscious observation of what I wanted versus what my circumstances were. Because I think as we go throughout life, we will, you know, we'll have these moments like that, like where we need to pick things out and do these things and whatever, but it takes some form of tenacity and a lot of owning your truth to stand by what you've dreamed about and creating that versus running with what everyone wants you to do. So I think it just comes back to continuing to dream and continuing to let yourself do that.
I love that. So in this dream, you had some things that you were doing to express yourself creatively. And this cannot go unnoticed, guys. You know, I constantly bring about things, unique things in my personal opinion about my guests that allows them to express creatively. And she did not mention this, which is a pivotal piece of her life, is that she is, in my personal opinion, amazing chef. Chef Ashton, like this, like,
oh man.
Cooking is not, like, for most people these days, is not very common. And can you tell us a little bit about that kind of journey of expressing yourself creatively through the art of food and cooking? Yeah, she went to culinary school, so this was another creative aspect of life.
So let me not leave out this part because it is important. But so I guess I should kind of go back to when I left at 15. I actually left, and what I went out to do was to be in a culinary program in a high school in a different state, in a different city that I hadn't been to. And I grew up cooking. I was cooking. It was funny, when I was 6 years old, I was watching Food Network, and I told my mom that I could do that. And she just laughed, because you should know this about my mother. She is not a good cook. she's not a good cook. She cannot cook. She actually, this is really funny about my mom. She's like, is it burnt yet? Like every time she cooks something, because she expects to burn it. Like that's how bad she is. And so anyways, at six, like, you know, I was like, I can do that. And my mom was kind of like, are you sure? You know, like, and I did whatever was on the TV that day. I believe it was Red Velvet Cupcakes. And I like made it by myself, did this. And then my mom and then we're kind of like astonished, like, this is crazy, you know, like, person that can cook and I can't cook myself, you know, nobody taught her. It was this like given gift that I had. And so I actually followed that. And originally what I thought I was going to do, let me expand on this a little, is I thought, going back to, I always knew I was supposed to be a leader, but originally I thought, okay, in that way, I will work myself up in the culinary industry and then become a restaurateur and, you know, expand in leadership and hospitality development and stuff like that. That's what I thought that I was supposed to do. And while I still have business ideas for that later in life, I realized on the journey that that was not exactly where I was supposed to go, but so cooking was my outlet throughout life. I was cooking while other people were, you know, on a gymnastics team or on this and on that. I was kind of, like I talked about being unique, I wasn't interested in any of the sports. Matter of fact, I was so terrible that no one picked me in PE class. Like, people were just, like, people were just like literally like categorized me as just terrible. Not even my own friends picked me. Like, the coach, we would get to the end of the like picking teams in PE, he'd be like, okay, just pick your team and stand there. Like, that was literally how bad I was, you know. But I had this outlet. I had and no one could really do that, you know, that I knew of.
Exactly.
And so this passion allowed me the space to release myself while also letting me hone in on my creativity. And I really believe that that really gave me more wisdom. Because not only did I cook, something interesting too, I would do art. I was doing art outside of school. Like, I would do after, not like after school art as part of school. You know, I was literally going to an art studio and literally in art outside of school. And I was actually involved in that. So, you know, art and creativity were always my source of an outlet, but also my source of fulfillment to kind of keep dreaming and just, whether it was a paintbrush or whether it was a knife.
Wow, that's beautiful. I think that I really wanted to touch on that is because there are so many people that can resonate and connect with that, is that they have this kind of persona or thing that they're supposed to attach to what they're supposed to be doing, and it doesn't match up with who they are, right? So I talk about it as a vehicle. You know, I myself wanted to lead and serve people and help people. And, you know, why do you want to go into pharmacy, Brian? Well, I want to help people. Well, Ashton, why did you want to go into culinary? Well, it was just a creative outlet. I wanted to be a leader. And a lot of times the vehicle doesn't match the driver. And I really want you guys to capture that thought, because a leader doesn't mean you have to lead within a certain entity. I don't have to do and help people through the vehicle of pharmacy. That wasn't my car that I was supposed to be driving. Ashton's car that she wasn't supposed to be driving wasn't necessarily culinary, but she still expresses herself creatively still through cooking. But there's different ways that she can do that. So I want to really move now into, people are wondering, obviously, okay, I have understanding of this. I have the understanding of the why, but it's the how and the what. So your specialty really is in how people can own who they are and really their success, right? So how did you begin to shift your perspective around kind of this definition of success, and how would you define success as well? Because, you know, people think they're successful or they're trying to achieve success, but they really don't even know what that is because they don't know who they are, right?
So before we kind of shift to that, let me kind of expand on where PTSD came to play.
Yeah, please.
As you expanded in my bio, because that was the thing that switched and allowed me to step into my true purpose, versus, you know, being in the culinary world and believing that.
Yeah, please.
So, as he said, you know, I went to culinary school. By the time I actually got to culinary school, I had been cooking, like I said, since I was like six. So I think I'd been cooking for, what was it, 13 years by then or something, you know? And when I was in high school, I had led, you know, certain cooking classes that were under me. And so I had this experience that was beyond most people's my age when it came to cooking. Matter of fact, I actually have a published recipe in the Medical Children's City Hospital here in Dallas.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so I accomplished some things. I was even asked to work for celebrities at 17 before actually graduating from high school. And so when I went to culinary school, you know, I was thinking, okay, I'll finally get this thing and do this. Well, I got in there and I realized I was bored, and not in the bored like, I really, you know, this is like boring, like I don't want to do college type thing. It was, no, this is not where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hit that, it's like kind of creeps you out. It's like, okay, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
So I ended up leaving culinary school.
Mm-hmm.
The months that followed, I would have never expected the shift that my life would have taken. Because as you know, and have heard up until this point, here I am on this journey, following my dreams, doing all these things. Well, then a few months later, tragedy kind of hit me, mm-hmm. and trauma hit me in a way that I had never experienced life before. And within a 5-month period, I was like, oddly, it started off, I was like, oddly, like followed in like stores, and it was kind of weird. And then what was next was I actually lost a family member, a close family member that was young. Mm-hmm. Next, I was sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. And then the last event that occurred that kind of was the last straw and kind of mm-hmm. broke me was I was at a red light one night and a random stranger pulls a firearm on me. And during this whole time, I was also in an emotionally and controlling relationship.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking when this, you know, happened was I just didn't get it. I just, you know, like, yeah. I didn't get why all of this happened within a 5-month period. You know, it wasn't just one event. It was like five for mm-hmm. 5 months straight, and no one understood it because like my family was like, what in the world is happening to you? What did you, you know, like, I didn't cause this,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you're thinking all these crazy things. And what happened was, you know, you kind of, you get through all that and you think it's over,
mm-hmm.
but what actually happened was PTSD hit
mm-hmm.
a few months later. It didn't just hit immediately. It hit a few months later. And at this time, let me say that I was actually already coaching a few people
mm-hmm.
and in the space of the coaching world for at least a year and a half before this happened. And so after that, I literally went off rogue. I was off of Instagram for a good 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I still held this vision of what I wanted to do. But I will admit I was at a very dark place that I did not understand if I was doing the right thing, the wrong thing, what, you know, you know, where do I go from here? And that's when not only, you know, my emotional thought processing kind of down spiraled, but also my health began to down spiral.
Mm-hmm.
So I started going to these doctors and it was like, all this stuff is wrong with me. And all of a sudden I'm given like 14 prescriptions and I'm like, no, I'm not taking 14 prescriptions. Like I've never had any of this stuff before. What happened? So then maybe a year later, I finally went to holistic doctors, paid mm-hmm. out of pocket, to be able to go to holistic doctors that were like, what you didn't realize is all these things were caused by your emotional trauma and the PTSD.
Exactly.
And what you have to do is not just heal that, but begin to understand it.
Yep.
And so what I will say is I was able to walk away from all of those things. And still to this day, I don't take a single medication.
Mm-hmm.
And that with complex PTSD, which is what mine basically is because it's multiple events, a lot of people are surprised by that because people are like, well, you know, how do you just not take an antidepressant? How do mm-hmm. you just not live like that? And it was because what I realized is that shifted, that experience was supposed to give me wisdom.
Yeah.
And more understanding of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of bringing a threat, while I still believe, you know, everything happens for a reason. Within that, there's this form of wisdom that we're supposed to learn, and I needed that wisdom, although I didn't notice it at the time. I needed that wisdom to step in to the role of leadership that I was actually called to be in.
Wow.
I needed that.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't understand that, but it allowed me this perspective to shift into exactly what I was meant to do.
Yeah. Wow, that's good. I love that you expounded upon that, because it's giving a lot of people context and understanding of where you're coming from and what pivotal moments that a lot of people that may be listening right now are missing, whether it's you personally or whether it's, you know, your family member, whoever, trying to gain a better understanding of what's actually going on. And I love that you mentioned really turning that what happened to you and into what happened for you, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Awesome. So now that we've got an understanding of that, right? You're now in this new place. You are healing. You took 6 months off. Now you're stepping back into somewhat of a new Ashton, like just a new perspective, right? Yeah. And now you have this perspective differently around what people need to do to really achieve that next level of them, you know, whether that's defined as success or whether that's, you know, hey, I want a better relationship. I want a better job. I want a better, you know, just life overall, a mental state. How did that perspective kind of shift your definition of what life even means now or what success is, right?
Mm-hmm. So stepping back into who I am,
mm-hmm.
and redefining my definition of success.
Yeah.
Because I think I mentioned it a little bit earlier and I said that I would, you know, expand it on a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
is that the world has given us this filter. And I stated it in a way of a filter of what we choose to do with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But actually it's a filter that affects us every single day of our lives with every choice we make.
Yeah.
Because there's this filter that the world has given us that from family, friends, older adults, and the society like structure in general has given us about what success is, how, you know, that's defined.
Exactly.
They give us a definition of money. All these things are pre-written for us. But it's, are we choosing that? Are we operating from this life where we are seeing everything through this filter?
Yeah.
Or are we zooming out and using our ability to consciously observe,
mm-hmm.
in order to remove that filter and step back into our truth?
Wow. Wow.
Because when you step outside of what you've become accustomed to know,
mm-hmm.
you're able to see that you're the one that defines your success, regardless, mm-hmm. of what your family, your friends, or society itself taught you it was supposed to be. And so when you step back into that place of being,
mm-hmm.
you understand that where you were so-called uncomfortable was actually the place that you were meant to be the whole time. But you were so comforted by this filter that the world gave you that you were lacking the clarity to see what was available to you.
Wow. There's a lot of different things that I want to pull out of that really quick. And I love to just give clarity for people a lot of times. And the first thing that popped into my mind is when you said that you had, every day you have a choice. Everyone has a choice every single day. And it brought me back to a lot of philosophers that I study and a lot of their quotes and a lot of things that, mm-hmm. they kind of speak upon. And a lot of the philosophers that I study, guys, is from like this stoicism or stoic manner. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's one philosopher, his name is William James, and he kind of talks about the ability to kind of choose every single day, meaning that a lot of people every single day are having to choose and decide on so many small intricacies of their lives that it takes away from their energy and their frequency that needs to step more powerfully into who they are, right? So meaning if you can find just some sense of a routine or some way of thinking about things every single day to where you can have certain things in order, then you can make more powerful decisions for yourself instead of saying, well, this is out of order. My health's out of order. My morning routine's out of order. I'm tired. I need to do this. I need to do that. My calendar's out of order, whatever it is, right? So it pulls away from your energy. So stepping back into your inner being, like what would you suggest before we dive into some more questions, what would you suggest that like the process that you take along yourself of like actually doing that? Like, okay, I'm in a present moment. I need to step back into who I truly am because I'm getting lost because we all get lost at times, right? So how would you, how do you do that? Like, how does your process look around, hey, I need a moment. I need meditative time. What do you think about to get yourself back in that true self?
So there are many things and some sound funny and some are pretty much things you've heard of.
Yeah.
And one I would say is a morning routine or an afternoon routine or even 5 to 10 minutes of the day that you can give to yourself and do something that reminds you of you.
That's good.
And so one of the things that sounds a little bit funny, but that's more creative if you're one of those, go on Pinterest. This sounds hilarious. Go on Pinterest, create a Pinterest board and label it whatever you want to label it, but you could label it my true self or who I am and start adding photos, whether it be hairstyles, whether it be clothing, whether it be home decor, something that speaks to the truth of who you are. But it's maybe the person that you don't show all the time to the outside world because you're scared of being the person. Attach these photos in there. You don't have to tell anyone about it, but it allows you the ability to see who you are versus who you were being in the world daily. And I know that sounds like a funny one, but it's truly creative and allows you to see something for yourself. And that's one that's like different. But then besides that, I would say for sure creating a morning routine, some type of, you know, meditation that allows you to calm your mind, but remember who you are. As well as something such as listening to music. So for instance, I know a few songs that remind me about who I am. And the lyrics may not make sense to why that is, but they do. And it's really funny because I actually listened to one of the songs right before. Actually, it's really funny. And it can be from like any artist, anything. It doesn't have to be like calm, meditative, or anything. It like could be like something like when you listen to that song, you're like, this like makes me feel like I can step into the epitome of who I know I truly am. Instead of like hiding, you know, your truth or only showing 80% of yourself to the world on a daily basis, which is what people do. They hide, you know, their truth, but they operate with this like 75 to 80% thinking like they're good, but then they're wondering why they don't have fulfillment, you know? So I think that those three things are probably my top things of doing.
Love it.
I think there's definitely more, but those are my three.
No, I love that. I think that people can really take away some things to do, and maybe we'll put some things down in the show notes, maybe some apps that you can use, because people are still trying to find like, how do I just sit? Like, I tried meditation, Brian. I tried meditation, Ash, and like, it doesn't work. I'd check out Ryan Holiday's book, Stillness is Key. I believe that's a huge you know, resource as well as to why stillness from a philosophical aspect is so key. If you just sit in silence, and I think a lot of people have been struggling with that, right, during this quarantine or pandemic, right?
let me say that not only like during, you know, like a crazy time, but especially for me as a person who has PTSD, although it might not seem to struggle, I will admit, if you have any form of, you know, mental illness or any mental health things that you deal with, it is really hard. Trust me.
Yeah.
I know. But I still do it because it brings me back to who I am.
Yeah. Wow. You talked about previously about this external world, like what these environmental factors, like the effect of them on our inner being and on ourselves, right? So it actually creates a narrative around who we think we are, and we're having these perceptions around what other people think about us, and it's all a perception. So how are these narratives around success, money, abundance, like they're pre-written, but how can we maybe change this narrative so people begin to manifest and bring about all those things that they actually want, right?
Yes, this is my favorite thing to talk about. Okay, so with this, I'll give some actionable steps after I kind of like explain this one a little
bit. Of course.
Because I don't think you'll completely get it in it. So when it comes to understanding how we step outside of that pre-written narrative we've been given, because I'm sure you've heard these over your life, is money is greedy, being successful is hard, you have to hustle, you have to be driven, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. You've heard all these things all your life. I guarantee no matter who you are, no matter how you were raised, you've probably heard them. But what we don't realize is how they affect us. And with that, not only do they affect like our idea of other things that we want in life, but they also affect who we are. You know, something could have happened 15 years ago where someone told you, don't wear that, don't do that, don't talk like that. You know, someone proposed some sort of judgment on you that made you scared to be yourself. And I think regardless if you've had some form of judgment, it's still nerve-wracking to be 100% yourself.
Yeah.
But what I have found time and time again is that is where your success is. It's a matter of three things. It's who you truly are, your intentions, and your integrity. But you can't have your intentions and your integrity without first understanding who you are and what those intentions are. And you can't have this ability to operate from integrity without understanding your intentions first. And so when it comes to rewriting that story, kind of like I talked about zooming out, creating this form of conscious observation. Well, when you are observing the narratives that you were given, instead of operating from this filter, you begin to see, oh, so-and-so said this when I was young, and that's why I think like this.
Exactly.
Or this was given to me when I was young. Like, people made me believe that this was how it was supposed to happen. Like, this was supposed to look, or, you know, you can be somewhat successful, but you can't be the 1% in the world. Like, you know, all these like crazy things that you like hear. And truly, regardless of where you come from, your story, etc., I believe that everyone has the ability to succeed. Because we look at some of the most like top like leaders in the world, a lot have some form of story, that tragedy, something that brought them this clarity to just go for it and be themselves. And so I think sometimes like we can't see that filter without having something that allows us to dismantle it. Because you can't rewrite the story until you understand that these things have been there all along. Like, you know, what people think about success, and you don't understand why you can't get yourself to consistently show up to get these things or receive these things, because because you are held back by these beliefs that were put on you for years. And it's really hard to dismantle and look at those. But most of the time, it's because we're subconsciously doing it instead of consciously looking at it. So that's what I meant by consciously observing. And so I'll say this too, before I give actionable steps also, I want to state that the way you should look at success, money, fulfillment, joy, being who you are and finding who you are, it all happens through an energy conduit. And what I mean by that is the energy that you put out is what you get in response on the other side. So for you to allow yourself to access the success that you want, the right energy has to be going through this conduit. Mm-hmm. And the energy is not where it needs to be or aligned, unless you are allowing yourself to be who you truly are. Mm-hmm. So you can't reap this form of fulfillment until you operate from the place that you know would truly meet that fulfillment. Because you know that if you operate at 80%, you know that on the other side, you are not going to feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
Regardless. But if you were to allow yourself to be who you are and operate at that 100%, you would allow yourself to receive what you had set out to do and what you want on that other side of it. And so the three actionable steps I would give you are these. Is first, maybe today, while after you're listening or while you're listening, whatever works for you, take all the stories regarding money, fulfillment, success, all these things that you've heard, as well as being yourself. Take those four things, being who you are, success, money, and fulfillment, and look at, write down all the stories that you've heard over your life about how you get those things, what those things look like. And, you know, it's really hard to do that. Kind of like I was talking about, you know, people will say money doesn't grow on trees, or, you know, it's, you have to be so driven to do that, or it's hard. All these things that you've heard, write them down, because that'll allow you to see what you're not paying attention to. But then secondly, I would ask that you start to look at all the loops you have open in your life. And right now you're probably like, what do you mean by that? So here's what I mean. How many action-based things do you have open in your life that you've not done?
Mm-hmm.
And so one maybe be, you haven't made that payment on a debt you owe.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't connected with that person you really want to network with because you're afraid that you're not worthy enough to speak to them. One may be you've started writing for a blog and you haven't posted it yet. I want you to look at all these loops you have open in your life to understand why these things are still open. Mm-hmm. Why haven't they been completed? Because when you can understand the stories above, you understand why it is those subconscious beliefs are now holding you back from closing these loops. So if you want to be able to receive the success you want, these loops have to be closed. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to look at money and not be afraid to pay back this payment on this debt. You have to be able to know your worth, understand your worth, understand who you are, to be able to reach out to that person that you want to network with.
Yeah.
You know, you have to understand where those things are coming from so that you can close those loops. Because once those loops are closed, you come full circle. And that means you're stepping into your truth and you're operating from a different frequency. And a few questions that is kind of the third part of actionable steps is I would like to ask you to ask yourself, what part of my story am I invested in? What part of my story am I invested in? How am I invested in that story? And how am I continually investing in that story? And maybe you're wondering, well, like, what story? You know, well, here's what I mean. What parts of your story are you emotionally invested in where you're attaching this scarcity to why you can't complete something? You know, you're emotionally invested in what happened to you instead of the wisdom it brought you, and attaching that to the action that you can take based on what you've learned.
Yeah.
So what part of your story are you emotionally invested in? Are you emotionally invested in your vision and the wisdom that you've got from what you've learned? Are you emotionally invested to the trauma, everything that you've experienced, and you are keeping yourself stuck and you're emotionally addicted there? And that's why you can't see the other side of what's available to you. So it's basically, are you addicted? Are you choosing wisdom?
Wow. Can you repeat those three from us? Because you expounded upon those for a lot. So guys, you might have to go back and listen to that last part of the actual step, so, but just the three top steps.
The three steps in total would be, one, write down all the stories that you've heard over success, fulfillment, money, and being who you are.
Yeah.
Secondly, would be what loops do you have open in your life, whether it's a payment on a debt you haven't paid back, a person that you've left a message halfway through because you want to connect with them, you want to network with them, but you're afraid to, or maybe, you know, a project being a blog or starting a business that you left undone, because nobody can judge you if they can't see it yet. Where are those loops open at that you haven't closed, you haven't done? And then thirdly, ask yourself three questions. What part of my story am I invested in? How am I invested in this story? And how am I continuing to invest in this story?
Yeah.
And kind of write a little like side note, you know, am I invested in the wisdom that I learned from going through these experiences, or am I emotionally invested in everything that happened to me and I'm emotionally addicted to being stuck?
Wow. I love all those. And I think, guys, make sure you listen to that last piece, because I love, as you know, giving actionable steps on this podcast and really just a quick understanding of, the unconscious and the conscious. I think most people have no idea, or some people have an idea, but you know, you've seen this picture all the time, and I like to break down complex things into simple things. And just think of an iceberg. You've seen that picture depicted before. And on the top is your consciousness, where you have your thoughts and your perceptions that a lot of people operate from on the 10% level. And then you have everything from a subconscious to an unconscious, where all your morals, your beliefs, your emotions, things people don't want to tap into, right? And another actionable thing that I'll give you as well is that there's a lot of people, you can go back and listen. I have a whole podcast episode on this about imposter syndrome, but I want you to draw this picture out, okay? If you're listening right now, make sure you're not driving or doing anything active, but go back and I want you to draw this picture out. On the left-hand side, write imposter syndrome underneath it and have a big circle drawn, okay? And this is where people think that, you know, you think that they know everything about life, right? They know everything. You can't level up to them. And then there's a small circle inside of that big circle where it's like, well, this is all I know, right? So there's this huge thing that you're trying to fill, and it just doesn't seem like you can fill it. But on the right-hand side, I want you to draw six circles, all the same size, and you're in the middle. This is where you know something and everyone else has little intricacies of their life that they know a little about a lot. So everyone's technically equal. It's just you think you have this perception that you're not leveling up in some way in your life. So yeah. I'll just give you that as well. If you're listening, take all those actionable steps. But as we're wrapping up here, I want to make sure that people's time is valued as well. So what I'll ask Ashton now to leave us with is lasting thoughts around wisdom, how that brings understanding, and maybe some last thoughts of just what she wants to leave you with and just her process of getting to that next level in your life. And then we'll leave off where you can find her as well. So Ashton, kind of give us some lasting things that maybe are just on your mind right now around what people really need to do. Cause you gave us some really tangible steps, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I gave some very tangible steps about how to really get, you know, clear, as well as understanding, you know, why you're being held back from your success. But where I will say your wisdom comes from, and not a lot of people talk about wisdom when it comes to success, or I don't really notice it as a word that flies around a lot. And why I think wisdom is so important is because it's everything you've learned that's allowed you to see things a bit more clearer, or it's the things that you haven't taken yet as wisdom and are holding you back. So it's either, you know, you're looking at kind of like the questions about where, what part of your story you're emotionally invested in. Are you allowing, you know, the wisdom that you've got inside of you to lead you, or are you letting what happened to you hold you back? And so I think that's a point to kind of leave off on and think about if, you know, are you leading from that place, or are you letting things just happen as they go, because that's what happened to you and you continue to move that way. As well as just understanding the things that bring you a return of energy. You know,
so not an ROI, but an ROE.
Yeah. And actually, I have something coming with that name. So that's part of my method and process over here and what I do. And so there you go. But what brings you that energy is things that brings you back to who you are, things that bring you back to the place of leading from your purpose. So, you know, kind of like we talked about, you know, how are you distributing your energy through your conduit every day? You know, what things bring you energy versus what are all the loops that you may have open in your life that are preventing the energy that you need to go towards your purpose, and instead they're causing this reactivity, you know? So where is that energy being distributed on a daily basis?
Wow. That's really good to leave off on. I just appreciate you and your transparency, the thought leadership that you're bringing on here, and then really giving us some keys as to how people can really understand more about themselves and who they are, because, you know, I try to operate from that frequency as well, that there's a different definition now of what we see as people that are successful and what we are trying to follow as in regards to leadership, right? Because people can have the money, the cars, the titles, all these things, and we're realizing that those things aren't really a true definition of success or leadership anymore, right? So guys, I just appreciate you being on here. Hopefully this gives you some value, and please, Ashton, let us know where people can find you. And the last question I always ask my guests, and you may have already given us a hint, is how are you evolving during this time? Obviously, there's something new brewing, like you've got some things coming. You don't have to give us everything, but that's just a hint, guys, to really stay tuned into Ashton and the things she has coming. So, Ashton, can you leave us off for where people can find you?
Yeah, you can find me at the Badass Babe on Instagram. Again, that is the Badass Babe. Let me go off on a little tangent real quick, since I just said that name. So kind of like we talked about fulfillment, success, and stepping into who we truly are. I'll say the Badass Babe was a joke of a name. But when I created that name, it was the embodiment of me leading at 100%. Mm. And so that's actually where the name came from, is me leading at 100%. It was kind of like creating the Pinterest board and imagining who you truly are. I kind of did that before, like, I actually like created this name and took my whole brand that way.
Yeah.
It's a complete embodiment of me operating at 100% of myself.
Wow.
It's just me letting me lead in that unique way that I've been given the way to lead. So that is where that name came from. But you can follow me at The Badass Babe, as well as I have my own podcast, The Uncomfortably Podcast with The Badass Babe, at all the platforms. But then also the new things that I'm doing. So the method that I use and have used, actually kind of going back before I kind of switched to this type of coaching, is this method and energy and understanding yourself. Mm-hmm. So I plan to do something a little bit more with that.
And
move forward, kind of like we talked about, this method I have of return. Yeah.
Don't give them too much. Don't give them too much. We'll leave that right there.
I can't give you too much info, but I can say my method, I'm going to expand that in a new way.
I love it. I love it. So you have maybe like a masterclass or a free training maybe people can jump into to get more info about you. But if anything changes, guys, just go ahead and reach out to Ashton. All of her information will be down in the show notes of what she has available, all of her contacts that she mentioned. And if you, listen to this and you just want to say, hey, Ashton, I listened to your podcast. It was amazing. I got some nuggets. Please reach out to her. Let her know that she was appreciated. And I appreciate her time of just being on here. So Ashton, thank you so much. Guys, we appreciate you. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead, remember to leave us a rating and review on Apple iTunes. Share this out on your platforms. Tag us. Let us know that you listened. I do feel like this is value to understand more about yourself, who you are, who you're called to be, and how to step into that next season, that next level of success that you actually create the narrative of, not letting others create that narrative for you. So redefining that. So I appreciate you again. Thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you in the next episode.